Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's dropping loot from PAX East. Steve, we're doing a live podcast here from Boston. We got Joe, Matt, John, and Dan, and yeah, it's a New Gamer Nation podcast. Is going to tell you guys what's going on and what we saw, what we really liked from PAX, and you know what we're gonna see tomorrow. So.
Doesn't quite feel like a new cast without an extra name, Steve.
I don't have another name picked out today, but, you know, it's not a new cast. It's an NGN cast. This is what's the name of the cast? NGN cast. PAX. Yeah, PAX cast, Prime.
Not Prime.
Yeah, East. number one.
Optimus Prime.
Yeah. So, you know, we got in, press got an hour beforehand, and we got to see some pretty cool stuff. What would you guys say, like, some of the best stuff you saw today was? I know John put in a lot of work, you know, just taking pictures of some cosplay.
The costumes were definitely fun. Definitely a good time there. Kind of excited about the new Wolfenstein game. Kind of excited about Borderlands. Mm-hmm. So, those are really my highlights. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got like 2 hours almost in on Wolfenstein. The game is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, why did you stay so long? What was it? Was it just the game was drawing you in? Or?
Well, the appointment demo like goes through the first three levels of the game, and as long as you're like, you know, decently good and don't die, you could make it through all three in like the 2 hour time slot. So.
And I think if you're like me, a pretty terrible gamer, you just set that level to easy and do it just as fine, but only take 40 minutes and move on. It was pretty nice to do that, too. Wow.
I did, like, just creeping up and stabbing people and playing through stealth. It was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun game. I mean, I played it for about the same amount of time, right around Christmas, and it was a little bit earlier build. But, it was a lot of fun. It's, like, straight-up shooting. It's exactly what Wolfenstein has always been, and it's they just give you what you've always wanted, as far as Wolfenstein is concerned. Like, you just want a straight shooter, that's exactly what they give you.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like, one of the things that I always liked about Wolfenstein is you got this, like, real creepy Nazi story, where, like, then you fight, like, Hitler in a robot costume or something, and, like, the original Wolfenstein, and it's just always, like, I don't know, it's like a real creepy set the mood and, like, kind of fuck with your mind, and like I think this looks like it's a lot of the same. I mean, I know in the CGI scene it was like a soccer match where, like, you know, someone got like a red card pulled on them and they just shot him right on the field. Oh, yeah, I don't know, just like real creepy Nazi bullshit. I don't know. It's fascinating, I guess, at the very least. Because it's like not. It's set like today, right?
No, it's in the 40s.
In the 50s or.
It's during World War II ish.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think
this one's in the for the 60s.
Yeah,
right?
It's in the 60s, yeah. It's like 15 years later. Mm-hmm. Because everything went down, and B.J. Blazkowicz was having. Like, he was on a mission, and he got caught. And then he got sent to an insane asylum for a while, where he was comatose, and then they kind of nursed him back to health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then this was the 60s, so when he wakes up and the Nazis won the war, that's when the game really starts and picks up.
Yeah, okay.
And now he's, like, out looking for the resistance to try to take America back.
America! That's pretty badass. I don't know. I'm definitely interested in the... whatever.
They had robot armor clad barking dog machines. It was pretty unique.
Which,
and
after you
terrifying.
Kill, you can then steal their armor.
Yeah, it was
oh, nice.
Awesome yet terrifying. Like, yeah, those really would exist.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess that's why, like, yeah, I mean, these games are out there. It's kind of scary. And speaking of that, like, when we got in, we checked out that sniper game. Like,
Sniper Elite 3.
Yeah,
Sniper Elite 3.
It was cool. It was a little gruesome. Like, every time you would, like, do a headshot, it would, like, slow up and show. Or, like, I shot someone in the lung, and it would, like, show the lungs, and it's like, oh, you just blew up and punctured their lungs. I don't know. It was bullet time to an extreme. And
I'll tell you, ever since Mortal Kombat, they've been taking advantage of that, of those X-ray shots.
Yeah.
Where as soon as you land, like, a devastating blow, it just shows you exactly what's going on an internal view. So I mean, it looked good though. Like, I thought it was cool the way that they implemented that. I mean, it isn't completely original, but I just thought it was interesting how they like to borrow some elements here and there. But you have to play that game stealth. Like, there's no running guns about it.
I mean, it's a sniper game. I'd kind of almost question it if it was. You could go guns blazing.
Yeah. Well, they usually give you the option. Like, you know, a lot of games would be like Hitman, where it's like, okay, if you want to.
I mean, he said they said that, you know, you do have the option, but like, it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah.
And you don't get much ammo. I mean, I think you get like 40 bullets total.
Oh wow, damn.
So you gotta like headshot everybody to run and gun it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Resident Evil 1 or something. Or you just gotta fucking knife it if you go a little crazy. I don't know. I think one of the best games I saw and you definitely saw too was I want to say Evolution. I know it's not Evolve. Evolve, yeah. And like Evolve's really cool because I guess it's a 5-player game or a 6-player game, but you have a team of 4 people, and then you're playing against one person who's basically the boss, like super strong monster that like will evolve and get stronger as he, you know, goes ahead. So you kind of have to work as a team to do like an epic boss battle against someone else, and they're trying to kill you. And it just seemed like a good mix. Like, I'm actually surprised they haven't done that more often in more games where, like, you queue up and, you know, get a team against, like, one person. But
yeah, it's always been, like, team on team.
Right, right.
And it's very rarely, like, a team on one person. But they do it in an interesting way because they kind of narrow it down so that everybody has a very specific role to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, not everybody can't be the assault class.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody gets a giant gun and just starts unloading. Like, you have to play your role.
Right, right. Or you'll pretty much get screwed.
I don't know. I almost, like, don't like that. Like, I've never been a support character kind of thing. I've never really liked that. So, it's like, if I got the medic, I'm like, well, this sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like an FPS. Like, I don't know. The medic was pretty fun. You just got to heal people, and I know.
That sounds like, so fun.
Yeah, but you still have a sniper rifle. Like, you can, you shoot the boss and then, like, you mark him and, like, everyone else can do more damage to the boss. So, like, it's not like you're just sitting back healing. Like, there's still a lot you can do and you can kind of fly around and, I don't know, I think, like, yeah, each role kind of had their own unique thing. Like, Joe is a tracker, so he's, like, responsible for finding the monster and, like, keeping it in a certain area. Then you have, like, the all-out assault guy.
Yeah, like, it kind of takes FPS in a different direction because in like traditional FPS, you had everybody could do everything no matter what class you played. Like, they go like Battlefield or something where if you were a medic, you could pick up like an LMG and take everybody out and just go crazy because you had the gun to back you up and your class limitations didn't keep you as a medic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just not revive people and still get the top score.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it forces you to play your role. So, everybody is going to have a part of their character that they really like, and a part of their character that they're really going to hate. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how people, take this in and how they react to it. Because, like, with the tracker, it was really cool to throw up the shield and keep this monster in like a certain area, and then I was able to throw a javelin and kind of keep the monster from jumping away or getting away and keeping it in the middle so that people can wail on it. But it kind of sucked just laying down these sensor beacons and just following footsteps until we got to the monster. So, and I'm sure it was the same way with the healer. Like, when you're healing, like, shooting with the sniper rifle could be cool, but then when you gotta heal somebody, it kind of sucks. So it's gonna be interesting to see how people take this.
Well, I don't know. At the very least, it looked pretty good. And it's a new concept that you don't get to see very often. Was there any good indie game? I know, like, you know, that's one thing this year. The indie games are just off the hook. Do you guys have, like, a favorite indie game you saw or something that, like, really looked cool to you?
Well, I liked Race to Sun. I played Race to Sun before, and that was a PC game, but they're really taking it to, like, all these new platforms, and we really got to take a closer look at the Oculus in particular, and I thought that that was pretty interesting. I mean, we were using an early build of it, so the resolution wasn't great, but just, you could kind of tell, like, the concept of what they were going for, and it seemed pretty interesting. I don't know, what did you guys think about it?
Yeah, I mean, the Oculus was a lot more fun, I guess, than the Vita or the Xbox version that they had shown. But, I mean, again, like, you couldn't really get the full experience because, I mean, the screen was kind of blurry, it was low res, and there was almost, like, a little bit of a lag or latency with the movements. But just the fact that it was just, like, up in your face was kind of nice.
Right. Yeah, I've actually never used the Oculus before. I know, yeah, me and Dan both played the
Darknet.
And that was, I mean, it was just cool to be in the Oculus. Like, they kind of made it out to be like a computer hacking. Like, I almost felt like I was in like a 90s movie. Like, what, you know, when they first kind of started, you know, showing the fake
virtual reality. VR.
Like
VR trooper?
A Johnny Demonic or like a Lawnmower Man?
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, you're in there and you're like, all of a sudden, like, all these lines are coming through, and you gotta, like, do this, like, hacking. But, I don't know, I thought they did a pretty good job with it.
Well, Darknet certainly made me want to try the Oculus. I really didn't have a desire all show to give it a chance wearing glasses, but that game was awesome, and being in that immersive world really makes that technology, you can see it continuing to grow.
Yeah, like, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's, like, I've heard a lot about the Oculus. I never used it, but just experiencing it today, even on a game that, like, you know, he said was only, like, 6 months work or whatever so far they put into it. I mean, it's just, like, really cool how you feel like you're in, you know, in the zone. So now I'm kind of glad that Facebook, you know, bought it and keep pushing it. And I don't know. It's cool. You're, like, looking around. Like, at first I was trying to go up and down on the controller, because, you know, you're holding a controller too, and it wouldn't go anywhere. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, is it broken? Then I, like, look up, and I was like, oh shit, like, this is how you know, I don't know, it took me a second, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Race of Sun wasn't quite as integrated that way. I mean, you could look left and right and see more of the board.
Right.
But you're moving so quickly forward that you can't really look anywhere else but forward.
Yeah.
So we didn't kind of get that motion control feel to it, but it was still interesting.
Like, did you feel like if it was like for racing games or whatever, like Oculus could be pretty awesome for like,
As long as they upped the resolution, because I mean, it was, the resolution was pretty poor to the point where you could see pixels.
Yeah.
So it was almost like a 16-bit look to the game.
I mean, it's not quite the Virtual Boy, but you know what is.
Yeah. Well, Virtual Boy wasn't bad, though.
Oh, really? Really?
I don't know. I don't think
you give Bubba so much shit for defending the Wii U, and you're going to make a claim like the Virtual Boy not.
Dude, that was good 3D. Like 10 years. I mean, that's pretty much the Oculus Rift 10 years ago, only in red, and possibly,
only with straight lines.
Yeah, straight lines, and possibly could cause some kind of blindness if you used it for 2 hours or whatever. But they put that warning on the box, so,
and it did, like, have maybe 5 games total.
And if you want to reminisce, a couple of shops were selling that type of shit right out there, so you could easily go back and
I could buy it. Yeah, I wonder how much. Yeah, I wonder how much a Virtual Boy would be.
Too much.
Like, even $20 is too much.
Probably.
Well,
I think it comes with a free Game Boy Pocket now.
Oh yeah,
pretty exciting.
That is pretty good.
That almost make it worth it right there.
All right, I'm gonna look on. I'll check out eBay and see if I can buy a Virtual Boy. I mean, I remember they had a tennis game. They had.
I just remember, I don't know if it was Star Fox or Pilot Wings. There was some kind of, like, horrible flying game.
Yeah. I never had one, but I rented one from Blockbuster. And I think it cost, like, $25. What? Gross?
Gross renting a headset. I mean, I felt weird wearing the Oculus.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until you brought it. I was like, well, yeah.
Like, enjoy your headlights, guys. Come on.
But I did hand sanitize my face. after a little sting.
You jump in the shower. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there was a...
I just remember this one nerdy kid in high school, Colin Swegman. Dude would, like, show up wearing a cape to school. And he brought in a virtual boy one day to school and was playing in the middle of class. And I'm just like, what the hell is this?
I don't know. Good technology, that's what it was.
ahead of its time.
Decent, yeah, ahead of its time, exactly. If they brought, if they even had that brought out today, you know, Facebook would have given Nintendo $100 million, man.
Sure.
All right. Well, is there anything tomorrow you guys are looking forward to? Anything, or just want to, you know, keep going on the beaten path and keep seeing as much as we can see?
Well, we're certainly going to see as much as we can see, and we have a pretty packed schedule as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of got a closer look at some of Square Enix's offerings, like Murdered Soul Suspect, or the mobile Hitman game. But it's also going to be a lot of indie stuff and seeing what's going on on the other side of things.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, because today we were kind of flying through, and we had a lot of, well, I don't want to say we had any free time, because we certainly didn't, but we were ahead of schedule, and if we can do the same thing tomorrow, we could probably go even just run into more indie developers and, you know, just walk down the whole indie corridor, and if anything kind of catches your eye, I'm sure you could do an interview, because everyone's always happy to push their product and show off their game.
Yeah, we were walking around, we saw Remy from Blamblier
again.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, when I saw him standing on the stage at E3,
mm-hmm.
it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know you made it when you're representing Sony at E3.
Yeah.
And talking about the indie scene on the PlayStation 4. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was running the booth last year, the year before, just talking about Blamblier's products and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, has passion right there. I mean, you don't get that from, and just goes to show with all these big studio closings and things like that, everybody wants to move smaller.
Yeah, man, the indie scene's getting really good. It's getting really good. And I mean, no better place than like PAX to kind of show off some of the better, like they had that whole, where we saw the, they had the whole indie section where it's just like one little TV, but
indie
there's like
mini mobile booth or whatever.
Yeah, like yeah, the indie mini booth, and there's like 15 or 20 different indie games in there just alone. So
it was good to see each terminal busy.
Yeah, and yeah, all of them are busy. Yeah, I mean the whole, well, just PAX in general is just crazy, crazy busy.
But you want to talk about the power of PAX? I mean, look at Switchblade Monkeys story.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, that's
the
like
luckiest. Yeah. Developers alive.
I mean, talk about the power that just showing up to a show like this gives somebody. I mean, they were just a couple of guys making a game, and then a representative from Sony just happened to be there, saw the game, loved it, and entered talks with them, got them set up with a PlayStation
PS4
deal.
PS4 dev kit, everything.
Yeah, gave them a PS4 dev kit right like the next day, and helped get them some developers to teach them how to bring their product to the PlayStation 4.
And if that wasn't enough, then like literally not even a year later, Valve is like, yeah, we don't even care about you going through Greenlight. We like your game. You're good. They're like straight up like the luckiest developers alive.
Yeah, like they just, well, I mean, they have a great game, so that takes you a long ways, but it's just like the exposure they got and how quickly people responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you how dedicated PlayStation is to indie games, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've heard that a few times today, where Sony just found a couple of indie games, liked what they saw, and immediately brought them onto the brand.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, they really missed out the last generation with the PS3. Like, they just didn't jump on that indie train. Mm-hmm. And I think they don't want to fuck up again, so.
Yeah, we heard that today. We were in a panel, and they were basically talking about how the PS4 has really just embraced games in general, and how they, you know, for the PS3, they try to be the media center, and now they're just like, oh, we're all about the games, and we're going to do indie games. The
panel was based on which console is winning 6 months after launch, and the big thing they're talking about is how Microsoft and Sony flip-flopped roles, becoming a media center for Xbox One, and Sony only caring about games right now.
Yeah.
And it's impressive to see that the gamers are still the ones buying the consoles.
Right, right. It's paying off in dividends for Sony. I mean, it's not like Xbox super far behind, but Sony's certainly right now ahead of the curve, and it looks like they're not going anywhere because they're doing all the things that gamers like.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what will change that is if the rumor is true that the Xbox One is going to make the previous games playable on the new system.
Oh, that would, yeah, that would.
That'll sell definitely. Some consoles.
Yeah.
Maybe Nintendo could take a hint and open up to indies and catch up a little bit.
Yeah, Nintendo needs to do something.
They need to do a lot of stuff.
They did. The panel did classify the Wii U as a next generation console. So they're classifying it
solely because of their launch date.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, technically it is, but you know, it's I don't know. It's way behind.
When you got like AAA studios saying we will not develop for it because it is not a next gen console.
Yeah, then you're in trouble. But. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's what we got from day one pack. So we'll definitely do another check-in tomorrow. And, you know, I know tomorrow's going to be an even busier day, but also a very fun day. So
stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. Y'all take it easy.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Adios, muchachos.
Deuces.